Good afternoon. On the update this Friday, Revel is returning with an emphasis on safety. The shared moped service is returning to the city streets with new rules, including a 21-question safety test and requiring riders to provide a selfie of themselves wearing a helmet in order to rent a moped. We'll have the latest details. With many schools having welcomed back their students for the fall semester, Governor Cuomo says that the state of New York will require schools to switch to remote learning for 2 weeks when cases surge. Sam Darnold is entering his third NFL season and second running Adam Gase's offensive line, with he and his coaches' jobs possibly on the line. Meanwhile, with no off-season training programs, mini-camps, or preseason games, it's hard to know how the Giants and new coach Joe Judge will perform this year. And there's a possible ripple effect overseas. Shinzo Abe, Japan's longest-serving prime minister, says that he's resigning because a chronic illness has resurfaced. He's acknowledged having ulcerative colitis since he was a teenager. This is the update Friday, August the 28th, 2020.
This is the update with Brandon Julian, reporting tonight on the road.
And a very pleasant Friday to you, Brandon Julian here, the host of the update, TGIF for all of you out there. We've made it through the last week in the month of August. Yes, it seems like summer is slowly coming to an end after July went by so quickly. And September, as we all know, is just right around the corner. We do have a lot of news to get to this Friday. We are going to begin with the shared moped service Revel. You may remember them. They were suspended recently after several incidents on the city streets. Well, now they're returning with some new rules, including a 21-question safety test. The scooter startup, you may remember, suspended service in the city back last month on July 28th after two fatal crashes. A third Revel rider who was injured before the shutdown died later. Two of those three people, though, who died, they were not wearing any helmets. Revel's new rules will require riders to provide a selfie of themselves wearing a helmet in order to rent a moped. And before taking their first ride, Revel users will also have to watch an instructional video and take a 21-question safety test. On to some of the other news of this Friday. And prosecutors, they've now turned over tens of thousands of audio and video files to lawyers for an ex-convict that's been charged with forcing some college students into prostitution or unpaid labor. The evidence was described in court papers late yesterday by defense lawyers for Lawrence Ray. The lawyers bemoan the fact, though, that their incarcerated client isn't allowed to see most of the evidence against him. They also disputed the claims by prosecutors that Ray is using his father to communicate from his jail cell with two young women who allegedly witnessed his abuse of others and were themselves abused. Prosecutors say that Ray's videos include some graphic sexual content of the two women that appear designed to debase and control them. To the state capitol in Albany we go now to talk coronavirus, where Governor Cuomo says that the state of New York is going to require schools to switch to remote learning for 2 weeks when cases eventually surge. Cuomo says that he expects campus-based clusters now that many schools have welcomed students back for the fall semester. Under this new guidance, if colleges have 100 cases, or if the number of cases equal 5% of their faculty and student population, they must go to remote learning for 2 weeks. The school's situation will be reassessed at the end of said 2 weeks. We told you about this yesterday, about how federal prosecutors say a man who stabbed an NYPD officer back in June showed sympathy for violent Islamic extremism and punctuated the attack with screams of Allahu Akbar. Zizan Kamovic was indicted yesterday on state charges, including attempted aggravated murder, and federal charges, including theft and unlawful possession of a firearm. Officer Yayan Fran John Pierre and the other wounded officers survived their injuries. A lawyer for the 21-year-old Kamovic refuted the government's assertion that his client was supporting the Islamic State or other terrorist groups. Lawyer Robert Stahl said that Kamovic is a, quote, troubled young man in a number of respects, as opposed to having any terrorist or Islamic leanings. There's a bronze statue over in Central Park depicting women's rights pioneers Sojourner Truth, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, and Susan B. Anthony. It was unveiled back on Wednesday. It's the 167-year-old park's first monument honoring historical heroines, as opposed to the historic to fictional female characters like Alice in Wonderland and Shakespeare's Juliet. The 14-foot-tall monument to the three 19th-century advocates was dedicated on the 100th anniversary of the ratification of the amendment that enshrined women's right to vote in the U.S. Constitution. It also joins prominent men, including Hans Christian Andersen, Simon Bolivar, and Alexander Hamilton, who were honored with busts and statues in the 840-acre city park. To Long Island we go now, out of Mineola, where a man who spent 14 years in prison for killing his abusive father was granted a new, shorter sentence that now allows him to be freed thanks to a newly enacted law. Malumba Kazigo had been sentenced to 20 years in prison following his 2006 plea to manslaughter in the killing of his father, Dr. Joseph Kazigo. But State Supreme Court Justice David Sullivan back on Wednesday vacated that sentence and resentenced him to 5 years in prison. You see, back in May of last year, the Domestic Violence Survivors Justice Act went into effect, allowing some incarcerated survivors of domestic abuse to apply for reduced sentences. Out west to Buffalo we go now, where an assistant women's basketball coach at Niagara University who resigned last week has now filed a complaint against the private Catholic university, saying that she was discriminated against based on her race and sexual orientation. In the complaint to the New York State Division of Human Rights, Jamesia Smith, who is black, says that the university blamed her when she became the victim of months of harassment by the family of a white player. The June complaint also says that Smith, who is bisexual, was falsely accused of having a sexual relationship with a player. But an attorney for Niagara calls the complaint just baseless. And finally, let's go out to Providence in Rhode Island, where city man has pleaded guilty to his role in a scheme to manufacture counterfeit brand-name clothing overseas that was then sold in the U.S., according to the military, in violation of federal law. Federal prosecutors in Rhode Island said yesterday that 39-year-old Bernard Klein conspired with wholesaler Ramin Konanbash and at least one other person to arrange the production of goods in China and Pakistan that carried fake labels identical to genuine U.S. trademarks. Many of the fake garments claimed to have weather-resistant and other qualities that they did not. Klein is scheduled to be sentenced on December 4th. Konanbash pleaded guilty last year and is awaiting sentencing. Time for us to step aside for a moment. When we return on the update this Friday, we have a couple messages from the MTA to tell you about. We're going to talk some sports and talk about how the Jets and the Giants are looking forward to their 2020 season. And then we will talk the latest national news along with this day in history. And there might be a changing of the guard overseas as far as the Prime Minister of Japan is concerned. We will address that and more when the update with Brian and Julian returns in just a moment.
News for New Yorkers who never stop moving. You're listening to the update with Brian and Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Faucet running?
That's not a faucet. That's a river rushing through the forest. Forest rivers provide over 100 million people with clean water to drink.
What? I can't hear you because of the vacuum.
That's not a vacuum. That's the trees in the forest cleaning up the air we breathe.
I didn't know the trees were so amazing.
Yep, and the forest gives us shade, trees to climb.
That's awesome. Let's go explore some more.
Visit the forest today and enjoy all it does just for you. To learn more about the forest and find one near you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Ah, the census is a special time when we count every single person in the country.
Do kids and babies count, too?
Of course. Counting everyone in your home helps support your neighborhood by funding schools, hospitals, and more. So complete the census by calling, going online, or returning your form by mail. It's totally private.
Visit 2020census.gov and...
Make your family count!
Brought to you by Carnegie Corporation of New York and the Ad Council.
Of all the radio stations in New York, we just happen to be one of them. This is the update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Keeping an eye on the roads, the rails, and the skies. It's time for traffic and weather together.
This is just a reminder from the MTA for you to help stop the spread of COVID-19. You must wear a mask or covering that protects your nose and mouth for your entire trip. It's the law and also a sign of respect to your fellow passengers. Thank you for riding with us. As a reminder also, bus collection resumes on Monday, August the 31st by boarding through the front door.
With the latest scores and highlights, it's time for the sports update.
Let us talk some sports on this Friday. And we will talk New York Football Jets out in Florham Park in New Jersey. Sam Darnold is entering his third NFL season and his second running Adam Gase's offense. He's shown flashes of being the franchise-type quarterback that the Jets believed he'd develop into when they took him third overall back in 2018. But Darnold needs to be more consistent and take a significant step in his progress. The season depends on it, and the futures of both Darnold and his head coach Adam Gase might as well. If Darnold plays well, it'll have a domino effect on the entire team. But otherwise, the franchise could be again looking for a new coach with serious questions about its quarterback. And over in East Rutherford in New Jersey, talking the Giants, Joe Judge is facing a bigger task than simply turning the Giants around after three dreadful seasons. The first-year coach is going into a year when the pandemic has limited his time with the team. In normal times, Judge will be wondering about whether quarterback Daniel Jones, halfback Saquon Barkley, and a rebuilt defense can return the struggling franchise to prominence. But with no offseason training programs, minicamps, or preseason games, it's hard to know how the Giants will perform this year. Judge knows what he wants, though. Tough, smart, fast, fundamental, and mistake-free football. In terms of today's action, the Mets are in the Bronx to take on the Yankees in a doubleheader. First game starts at 4:05. Michael Wacha gets the ball for the Mets. Jordan Montgomery goes for the Yankees. And game two will start 30 minutes after the conclusion of game one. Starters have not been named for that game as of yet. We return on the update this Friday. We'll talk about what happened on this day in history. And then we will address the latest national news, including how at the Republican National Convention, President Trump blasted Joe Biden as a hapless politician over his career. He'll endanger Americans' safety also, as he accepted his party's nomination from the South Lawn of the White House. We will address that and more when the update with Brian and Julian returns in just a moment.
Keep it tuned in to WKRB. The update returns in a moment.
part-time job, full-time hustle, all-time shiro to all of us. You nurture, we listen. You teach, we thrive. You lift our spirits, but we've got to lay down the truth. It's time for you, our shiro, to stretch for the stars. Start saving more for retirement now so you can feel prepared and live your life to the fullest. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings now at aceyourretirement.org/shiro.
A message brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, I'm Haley Kiyoko, and I know what it's like to struggle with mental health issues. If you have a friend that's going through a tough time, now is the perfect moment to reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at seizetheawkward.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Paging Common Sense. Paging Common Sense. Is there any common sense left in the room? This is the update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Welcome back to the update. Brandon Julian here. It's Friday, TGIF again to all of you out there. We're heading into the last weekend in August, people. Can you believe this? September is about to be here, and you know what that means? Labor Day weekend. First day of school for New York City public school children. Fall, huh? After a summer of heat, I know everybody's looking forward to fall and doing all those fall activities. I know I am. My wife is looking forward to that too. We love to talk about it. It's literally our favorite subject. What was I talking about? Oh yeah, weekend. Normally on weekends we take time off to get some R&R in, but not this weekend, or any weekend going forward actually. Every weekend, starting this weekend, we are taking you into the update archives to take you through the weekend. With over 400 episodes that we've done, it allows us to allows you to relax on the weekend and look back at time before COVID-19. Anyway, let's talk about what happened on this day in history for this August the 28th. The highlight of this day came in 1963, when more than 200,000 people listened as the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. delivered his I Have a Dream speech in front of the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. In 1917, 10 suffragists demanding that President Woodrow Wilson support a constitutional amendment guaranteeing women the right to vote were arrested as they picketed outside the White House. In 1944, during World War II, German forces in Toulon and Marseille, France, surrendered to Allied troops. In 1955, Emmett Till, a black teen from Chicago, was abducted from his uncle's home in Money, Mississippi, by two white men after he had supposedly whistled at a white woman. He was found brutally slain 3 days later. In 1964, 2 days of race-related rioting erupted in North Philadelphia over a false rumor that white police officers had beaten to death a pregnant black woman. In 1968, police and anti-war demonstrators clashed in the streets of Chicago as the Democratic National Convention nominated Hubert H. Humphrey for president. In 1996, Democrats nominated President Bill Clinton for a second term at their national convention in Chicago. Also, the troubled 15-year marriage of Britain's Prince Charles and Princess Diana officially ended with the issuing of a divorce decree. In 2005, New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin ordered everyone in the city to evacuate after Hurricane Katrina grew to a monster storm. In 2009, the Los Angeles County Coroner's Office announced that Michael Jackson's death was a homicide caused primarily by the powerful anesthetic propofol and another sedative, lorazepam. In 2013, a military jury sentenced Major Nidal Hassan to death for the 2009 shooting rampage at Fort Hood that claimed 13 lives. And on the 50th anniversary of Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech at the Lincoln Memorial, President Obama stood on the same steps as he challenged new generations to seize the cause of racial equality. In 2014, comedian Joan Rivers was rushed to New York's Mount Sinai Hospital after she suffered cardiac arrest at a doctor's office where she had gone for a routine outpatient procedure. Rivers died a week later at the age of 81. In 2017, floodwaters reached the roof lines of single-story homes as Hurricane Harvey poured rain on the Houston area for a fourth consecutive day. Thousands of people have been rescued from the flooding. And in 2018, a white former police officer, Roy Oliver, was convicted of murder for fatally shooting an unarmed black 15-year-old boy, Jordan Edwards, while firing into a car packed with teenagers in suburban Dallas. Oliver was sentenced the following day to 15 years in prison. When we return on the update this Friday, we will talk the latest national news, including how in Kenosha, Wisconsin, prosecutors there have charged the 17-year-old from Illinois in the fatal shooting of two protesters and the wounding of a third. We will address that and more when the update with Brandon Julian returns in. Excuse me, when the update with Brandon Julian returns in just a moment.
For New Yorkers who never stop moving. You're listening to The Update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
If you're worried your friend may be struggling, remember, you don't have to be there to be there.
You could say how while you will get a fake tattoo. You could ask with an app if it works for you. You could chat on a game, kick off your flip-flops. You could ask on your couch while you binge watch.
Whatever gets you talking.
Reach out to a friend about their mental health. Learn how you can help at seizetheawkward.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
They say singing can help you remember things, so here's some tips for parents out there during these tough times.
Number one!
Make sure your kids wash their hands for 20 seconds after they've coughed or sneezed or been outside.
Two!
Virtual play dates, social and physical distancing can help save lives.
Three!
Tell them they're safe and show your love and pride. Yes, we'll get through this together. Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
Listen to us on Mixcloud to learn more about the stories that matter to you. And did you miss out on any episode of The Update? Listen to us anytime at mixcloud.com/the WKRB update.
Welcome back to The Update, Brandon Julian, on a Friday here, getting ready for the long holiday weekend. Long holiday weekend. It's not a holiday weekend just yet. Let's talk latest national news on this Friday. We'll begin overseas in Tokyo, where Shinzo Abe, Japan's longest-serving prime minister, says that he's resigning because a chronic illness has resurfaced. Concerns about Abe's health began this summer and grew this month when he visited a Tokyo hospital 2 weeks in a row for unspecified health checkups. Abe has acknowledged having ulcerative colitis since he was a teenager, said the condition was controlled with treatment. Abe, whose term ends in September of next year, is expected to stay on until a new party leader is elected and formally approved by the parliament. In Washington, at the Republican National Convention, the conclusion, President Trump blasted Joe Biden as a hapless career politician who will endanger Americans' safety. He accepted his party's renomination on the South Lawn of the White House. While the coronavirus kills 1,000 Americans each day, Trump defied his own administration's pandemic guidelines to speak for more than an hour last night to a tightly packed, largely maskless crowd. Facing a moment fraught with racial turmoil, economic collapse, and a national health emergency, Trump delivered a triumphant, optimistic vision of America's future. But he said that broader, brighter horizon can only be secured if he defeats Democrat Joe Biden, who currently leads in most national and in battleground state polls. To Kenosha, Wisconsin we go now, where prosecutors there have charged a 17-year-old from Illinois in the fatal shooting of two protesters and the wounding of a third. Kenosha County District Attorney Michael Gravely filed five felony charges against Kyle Rittenhouse yesterday afternoon. He could face a mandatory life sentence if convicted of first-degree intentional homicide, which is the most serious crime in Wisconsin. The shootings late Tuesday, followed the weekend police shooting of Jacob Blake, a 29-year-old father of six who was left paralyzed from the waist down. Blake's shooting has made Kenosha the latest focal point in the fight against racial injustice that has gripped the country. Out west we go now to San Francisco, where more than 50,000 people have been forced to flee their homes. They are now being allowed to return after firefighters made progress in putting out massive and deadly wildfires in Northern California. Cooler weather, higher humidity, and an influx of equipment and firefighters helped hard-pressed crews battling some of the largest fires in recent state history. Evacuation orders for more than 20,000 people in San Mateo and Santa Cruz counties were lifted for Wednesday, and orders for another 35,000 people in the wine country have also been downgraded. The fires burning in and around the San Francisco Bay Area have killed so far 7 people. Going back to Washington, hundreds of thousands of demonstrators, they've gathered around the White House for a noise demonstration and dance party. They were there to drown out President Trump's speech accepting the Republican national nomination. There was no indication, though, that Trump actually heard the protesters as he delivered the speech from the White House's South Lawn. But there were a few points when a mix of sirens, music, and blowhorns could be heard in the background, and spectators in the back turned to see where the sounds were coming from. Mostly, though, the protest was peaceful. Acknowledging the pandemic, the demonstrators wore masks, but there was no social distancing. Out west to Los Angeles we go now, where Governor Gavin Newsom is expected to announce plans for reopening businesses that were shuttered in July amid soaring coronavirus cases and hospitalizations. The steps he announces today could move the state slowly back toward normalcy heading into the fall. The California Restaurant Association hopes that Newsom will allow the return of indoor dining. Businesses and local governments that were buffeted by the outbreak say that they need clarity in the state rules to avoid confusion over who can reopen, and when. Newsom ordered the sweeping closures last month, shuttering bars, indoor religious services, gyms, and hair and nail salons. To Lake Charles in Louisiana we go now, where the Hurricane Laura are unleashing heavy rain hundreds of miles inland from a path of death and destruction left along the Northwest Gulf Coast. Forecasters say an eastern turn by Laura, which is now a tropical depression, could make it a looming threat to the mid-Atlantic states over the weekend. Laura crashed ashore back on Thursday as a Category 4 hurricane near the Louisiana line with Texas. It was one of the strongest hurricanes ever to strike the U.S., packing 150-mile-per-hour winds. Laura destroyed buildings, toppled trees, and killed at least 6 people in the U.S. Forecasters say it could still pack a punch en route to the East Coast. And finally, we'll go over to Lansing, Michigan, where a federal judge in California has blocked a rule that Michigan and 7 other states would unlawfully allow too much pandemic relief aid to be diverted from K-12 public schools to private ones. Judge James Donato ruled late on Wednesday. Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel says the money was meant to assist public schools most in need of financial support, but Education Secretary Betsy DeVos's policy, quote, does the exact opposite. The decision temporarily halts the U.S. government from implementing the rules in 8 states, Washington, D.C., and also school districts in New York City, Chicago, Cleveland, and San Francisco. And in the words of Walter Cronkite, that is the way it is, Friday, August the 28th, 2020. That is the update on this Friday and for this week. I'm Brandon Julian. We appreciate you joining us. And in the words of Roger Grimsby and Bill Butel, hoping that your news is good news, I thank you very much for joining me. Good luck, be safe, and please be well. Rebroadcasts of the update run all weekend long, and we'll be back on Monday. And honey, I'll be home shortly. My producers are giving me notes about what I've done wrong over the past 3 seasons, so don't wait up for me. Have a good rest of your weekend, everyone. And we'll see you back here on Monday.